Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is today's issues. Each of my guests is discussing an issue relevant to today. My first guest is a law professor who wants to protect entrepreneurs' rights on the Internet. We'll examine a law before Congress that could destroy the Internet as we know it, threatening advertisers, credit card companies, search engines, and innovators. My second guest examines how some companies thrive despite uncertainty, chaos, and luck from his latest book titled Great by Choice, co-authored with Jim Collins. My third guest is the ex-wife of Omar Sidney and a numerologist. She'll discuss the significance of today's date, which is 11-11-11. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Michael Carrier teaches and writes in the areas of antitrust, intellectual property, and property law at Rutgers School of Law in Camden. His book is titled Innovation for the 21st Century, Harnessing the Power of Intellectual Property and Antitrust Law. Michael is also the editor of the volume Critical Concepts in Intellectual Property Law and Competition. Michael is a summa cum laude graduate of Yale University and a cum laude graduate of Michigan Law School, where he was the book review editor for the Law Review. Before entering academia, he clerked for the Honorable John D. Butzner, Jr. on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit and litigated antitrust, civil, intellectual property, and sports cases at Covington and Burling in Washington, D.C. Joining us from the greater Philadelphia area. Hi, Michael. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thank you for being an expert today on the show to talk about your expertise. And let's dive right into this if we can, because you say that there's a law before Congress right now. I believe it's the Protect IP Law of 2011, and its possible implications for Internet users, very, very onerous. So explain it in layman's terms. What is the legislation that is in front of the Congress right now?
So you're right. There is legislation in front of Congress. In the Senate, it's something called the Protect IP Act. In the House, it's something called the E-Parasites Act. Leave it to Congress, and they can come up with fancy names for whatever they're going to do. And in both of these pieces of legislation, which both have bipartisan support, it basically would destroy the Internet as we know it. In particular, what it would do is it would take any website in which any copyright owner is worried that their copyrighted work is on the site and allow them to shut down the site. In particular, it would allow them to take the domain name system. That's just the name that you type into so you want to go to a website, and make that name so that it does not transfer to the site. So you would not be able to find the site. And so if you think you would know where to go on the Internet in the future, perhaps all those sites are not going to get you to where you want to go.
All right. So the government would step in and virtually disconnect the name, the URL or the DNS from the actual site itself. Now, who's sponsoring this legislation, Michael?
So this legislation is being sponsored in the House by Lamar Smith. In the Senate, there are a bunch of senators behind it, and it almost became law. That last year, it was something called COICA, C-O-I-C-A, and literally one senator, Ron Wyden from Oregon, stood up and said, there are some problems here. If not for him, this could already be the law of the land. And the reason why is the copyright holders have a lot of power, a lot of money. This is a bipartisan issue. both Republicans and Democrats believe in this threat of piracy and theft and are willing to follow the entertainment industry almost off a cliff.
All right, so the entertainment industry is what's driving this. Companies like Walt Disney, companies like Viacom are pushing for this legislation to protect their intellectual property. So who stands to benefit if the legislation is passed besides just those companies that I named?
Nobody that I can think of. So those companies and the record labels and those that have a lot of copyrighted works and sell it, and of course there are a lot in Hollywood and in California, those companies would perhaps in the short term benefit, because let's say there is a website and it has some copyrighted works on it and users are downloading those works without paying for them, they would be able to shut down those sites. And so maybe they would benefit a bit. The problem, however, is that it's like playing that whack-a-mole game. You go to a festival and the mole pops up and you whack it with a hammer and five others pop up to take its place.
Right.
And so there's never going to be a complete elimination of piracy. So even if they stop it from certain sites, others are going to pop up instantly just to make sure the problem doesn't go away.
All right, Michael, was this law introduced to prevent BitTorrent sites from just streaming out movies and streaming out movies for free?
So BitTorrent is one of the concerns here, and BitTorrent is a technology that allows big files like movies to be broken up into a bunch of small files. The problem, though, is that even if the rogue websites, and the term that's always thrown about is rogue websites, like they're breaking the law all the time, even if those are covered by this legislation, it's also worded so broadly in terms of something like inducing infringement. In other words, helping others to infringe, that it could ensnare within its net companies that we rely on every day, like Google, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of these sites could potentially have copyrighted content and could potentially be shut down.
All right, so let's talk about it. Who stands to lose if this legislation gets passed? Obviously, those search sites that you just mentioned. Who else would stand to lose?
So not only all of those sites that we know and rely on every day, even worse, the next Google, the next Facebook, that won't have a chance at all to compete in a market where they basically are in fear for their life that they will be shut down at a drop's notice. With barely any due process, company can just go into court and say, shut down this site. Which venture capitalist is going to invest in a site like this if it can be taken down overnight? And all of us who rely on innovation and who rely on an open internet, we would suffer as well.
All right. Well, it sounds like this would be a real boon for the attorneys who would try these types of cases. But let me ask you, what position does the Obama administration take on this legislation? Would they veto it if it got through the House and the Senate?
My guess is that they would not veto it. The Obama administration has perhaps taken some nuanced positions on some of these issues, but certainly Vice President Joe Biden has been in favor of strict enforcement of the copyright laws and outlawing piracy wherever possible. And there is a bit of a split here because the Obama administration and the IP coordinators really have tried to strengthen the copyright laws through trade agreements, through things perhaps like this legislation. On the other hand, the State Department and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is out saying to the rest of the world, like China, don't censor the internet. And so there's a conflict here. If we're about to censor the internet ourselves, we lose some credibility when we go to places like China and say, you guys shouldn't censor.
Certainly do lose a lot of credibility. My guest is Michael Carrier. We're talking about the new law that's up in front in the Senate. It's called Protect IP Act of 2011, and in the House it's called the E-Parasites Act. I just love that name. That is great, Michael. So all of this being said, the Obama administration isn't taking a stand, or at least isn't taking a coherent, cogent stand on this, because out of one side of its mouth it's saying one thing, out of the other side of its mouth it's saying another. The bigger question, though, comes down to this, Michael. What role does lobbying and lobbyists play in the introduction and in the passing of legislation just like this?
Lobbying plays a huge role. And I tell my class, I teach intellectual property, and I tell them, if you ever have difficulty falling asleep at night, don't spend any money on sleeping pills. Just curl up with a copy of the copyright statute. and read some of these provisions, which have been written by the entertainment industry. They go on for pages and pages and pages, and it really is amazing the effect that lobbyists have on the making of law. Here in particular, I would say that lobbyists in the entertainment industry have what they think is a lot to gain here, and they're willing to push it through. They're willing to pay money to both Republicans and Democrats, and it really takes someone like Senator Wyden and a couple others to stand up and say that this really is not in the best interest of our country.
Well, that's just it. I was going to ask you, that was the next question out of my mouth. Who's the watchdog looking out for us, the citizens, in all of this? Because it doesn't sound as though the government has our best interest in mind.
No, so you really have to rely on just a few individuals that see the harm that confronts us. So I've mentioned a few times Senator Wyden from Oregon, also Representative Zoe Loughman from California. She has played a key role in trying to block legislation like this. And so there are a couple people like that, but really, by and large, most representatives just go along with the entertainment industry.
Well, then why don't we hear more about this type of legislation? I mean, why does the media underreport stories like these?
Great question. And it gets to the problem with the media today, where I think a lot of issues that are important to the future of our country are not reported. And it is a bit tricky. So you have the entertainment industry jumping up and down saying theft and piracy and the end of our economy. And on the other hand, you don't have as strong and motivated interests that have as much money at stake to talk about protecting innovation and protecting the internet. And there are a lot of folks. Venture capitalists wrote a letter to the Senate to say just what was wrong with the Protect IP Act. Technologists, those that were involved in the founding of the internet, said this is going to be a real problem if you get rid of the domain name system. I'm trying to raise awareness talking to you. But you put all of us on one side, you put the entertainment industry with their millions on the other, it's really not a fair fight.
No, it's not. And I find it interesting that the venture capitalists and the technologists are writing to the senators and congresspeople. When the senators and the congresspeople receive cogent arguments from these people who are in the know, do the senators and congressmen themselves understand what's at stake?
I don't know if they do. And so I understand next week there will be a hearing on the E-Parasites Act. And from what I've heard, all four of the witnesses that were called to speak are in favor of the legislation. And so it's really not a fair, balanced view just to hear from the side that favors the legislation when there are so many folks and so much technology and innovation tied up in not seeing this thing go through in its present form. It doesn't seem like it's a balanced presentation.
Well, it's a very frightening prospect. My guest is Michael Carrier. He's the author of the book Innovation for the 21st Century, Harnessing the Power of Intellectual Property and Antitrust Law. And sort of part and parcel with this type of a discussion, Michael, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about net neutrality. Now, this is a term that people do hear because this does make its way into the popular media. People may be familiar with the term net neutrality, but may not fully understand what it is, what's at stake here. So, if you don't mind, explain what is net neutrality and talk to us about what's at stake with net neutrality.
So you're right. Net neutrality is another issue that has gotten attention, more attention, in fact, than what we've been talking about so far. And it basically gets to the point that ISPs, Internet Service Providers, are not supposed to discriminate in the ability to provide us access to websites. So, for example, it doesn't seem right if they can speed up the connection and give more bandwidth for sites that they favor and make things really slow for sites that perhaps are critical of them. And so the point of net neutrality is to make sure that we as consumers get information at roughly the same rate no matter which website we're talking about.
All right. Well, that makes sense, except the capitalist side of me says this, Michael. I've got Amazon out there. I've got Google and YouTube, which is a division of Google, and they're dishing out all kinds of information all the time. Shouldn't I be able to charge them more because they're using up more of the bandwidth? They're using up more of the superhighway than, say, my little website, brainstormingonline.com?
Yes, and this is where it gets nuanced. And so if we are having all the bandwidth being taken up by companies like those that you mentioned, or, for example, by BitTorrent that's running movies or at least showing movies, then there is an argument that if the terms are fair enough, perhaps it does make sense to charge them more. And I have nothing completely against that argument, but I think the fear is that there has to be some part of the internet left open so that it's not just the big sites, but also those, the small sites, the critical sites that still get a chance to operate, because the internet really touches on so many things from democracy to communication to organization that it can't just be a FedEx priority lane for those with the money to pay for the high-speed access.
Well, now, it gets even more nuanced when you consider that the internet is global. It is not just the United States. So how can the United States, in its hubris, think that we could control the speed and access of a site like Amazon, which sells products in Europe, it sells products in Asia? It would be ridiculous for us to think that we could control their worldwide operations simply because we've got a point of view here in the United States. What do you say to that?
And you're right that the internet is global in nature, and that's a problem. So, for example, in the Protect IP Act, we're talking about foreign websites that have an effect in the U.S. And so the same goes for net neutrality. We're not controlling the speeds in which there's transmission in Europe. We're taking someone like Amazon, for example, and saying within the U.S., this is the effect that you would have here, and so these are the rules that we would impose in the U.S.
All right. Well, Michael, break it down for us. Who stands to benefit if net neutrality is abolished?
If net neutrality is abolished, then the companies, for example, the internet service providers, would be able to charge based on access and based on how much they could get from, for example, companies like Amazon that are willing to pay for a quick distribution to consumers. On the flip side, who would suffer would perhaps, and it's tough to paint with a broad brush here because net neutrality is just such a loaded term and the devil really is in the details, but in the worst case scenario, if you had a version by which the ISPs could have, let's say, a luxury lane for those who could afford paying for a quick distribution to customers, they would benefit while those who would not be able to pay, the small mom and pops, the bloggers, those would perhaps suffer because the connection would be slower, and that's in the worst-case scenario.
All right, so that's the worst-case scenario. What does this mean for the average internet user if it does get passed?
So if net neutrality is not passed, and it's a bit complicated because the agency, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, for a while now has been considering passing net neutrality rules, and they did so after a couple years of study. There's a lot of ambiguity there, and so we don't know exactly what it means until, for example, a case is brought in which someone challenges an action of an ISP and says that our website, for example, was really slow or was blocked or something like that, and that's when it really will get fleshed out. But that's where we are. The net neutrality is some version is sort of out there, but we don't know what all the details are.
The devil is in the details. My guest has been Michael Carrier, author of the book Innovation for the 21st Century, Harnessing the Power of Intellectual Property and Antitrust Law. Michael, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Yes, I just direct them to my website. I'm at Rutgers, and just type in Michael Carrier and Rutgers. You can't miss me. And that has a list of all of my publications. It has links to the book, both in paperback and in Kindle version. And so that's where you could follow me.
So that's Rutgers, RUTGERS.EDU, and then type in Michael Carrier. Michael, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.